Good afternoon, brethren. We come to a very, very important part of the service today. It's quite a few years since we've had a baptism at our convention. So it is with great pleasure that we come together today to celebrate with Angela her decision. Angela's made a decision, but this does not mean we escape doing anything. We also have to make a decision that we are also here to encourage her as she goes along the walk on the narrow way. Looking around, some of you have been on that walk for a very, very long time. Others, much shorter time, but we are all there. We've all experienced it, and so the reason why we're here to witness it is so that we can also be of encouragement and help. We've spent time with Angela, she's made the decision, so the hymns are her choice. What we will be doing, the service will be here, where for the discourse. We will then be having a break for about 10-15 minutes, so as we're going down onto a beach. So high heels are out. You'll need shoes that you can walk on sand. Alright, so you'll have some time to do that. Richard knows where he is going, so Richard is happy to meet you just out at the front here and lead you. We will work it out. We will find it. All right, let us all start by singing together hymn number 281. O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. Hymn number 281.
I'm not sure.
To ask Brother Ken Finetz to come forward to ask a blessing. Thank you.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy name. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this privilege we have of being here together as thy people, as thy children. We thank thee for that privilege. We thank thee for the Son, Christ Jesus, who died on our behalf. And at this time, Heavenly Father, we ask thy special blessing upon this service. We ask the blessing of Brother Dave as he's going to speak unto us the message of baptism. And at this time, Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou hast called our dear sister Angela, and we pray that thou hast hold her in the palm of thy hand. Continue to lead her in the path of righteousness. Keep her away from all evil and all danger. Help her to fulfill her covenant of the sacrifice she had made with thee. We thank thee for that privilege, Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father, we also ask thy blessing upon each and every one of us as we renew our consecration. Be with us and guide us. And we pray that thou continue to bless the further services of this day. Forgive us where we may have come short, Heavenly Father, as we commit ourselves to further guidance. We give you thanks and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ken. With great pleasure, I ask our Brother David to come forward to give the baptismal talk. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Ray. And peace be unto you, brethren and young people and our friends. I've entitled my discourse, A Message from an Older Brother to a Younger Sister. This is a very, very special occasion. Sister Angela Yainchuk has announced that she'd like to consecrate her life in service to God, and that she'd like to symbolize a special covenant relationship with the Creator of the universe through water immersion, with all of you as witnesses. Sister Angela, can you stand up and give everyone a wave? But now we all know Sister Angela. And I'd like to, Sister Angie, welcome you into our spiritual family. We are all brothers and sisters of one another, and we have an elder brother who is our leader, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have one Heavenly Father, and He wants a family. I think most of you know Sister Angie, as she's from the Melbourne area, and she's attended many conventions, as well as being a regular attendee at the Polish Bible Student Hall for just about every meeting that we've had. Now, Sister Angie, before I'll read three questions to you now, which I want you to think about as we have this discourse. And at the end of the discourse, I'll ask you again, okay? And then you can acknowledge publicly in front of many witnesses from your family. And the questions are, the first one is, do you recognize Jesus Christ as the one who died to redeem mankind? And have you personally accepted his sacrifice on your behalf? The second question is, do you acknowledge your sinful condition from which you cannot save yourself? And the third question is, having acknowledged the first two points, do you present yourself in consecration to God as a living sacrifice to do his will, even unto death? And so we'll ask you these at the end of our session and in front of many witnesses. So, what is consecration? The history of consecration to God started a long time ago. God was looking for beings that would be like Him, those who want to share His values. He didn't want to just create them like clones. He wanted beings who would love Him. They wanted to do what's good because, not because they were forced to do it, but because they hated anything evil or sinful. He wanted them to be able to pass many tests and prove themselves as being loyal and faithful to Him and to His instructions. Jesus was the role model for us, a benchmark which we can copy. There must have been many hundreds of thousands of angels that God looked at, but He chose one, the Logos, as the one who was most pleasing to Him. Likewise, during this gospel age, God is looking for a small number of very special people, 144,000 of them out of billions. To be part of this special family, we need to try to be pleasing to God, just as our Lord Jesus was pleasing to Him. Matthew 3:17 says, "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased.'" And Jesus, He was separate from sinners, separate from the world, in the world, but not of it. Sister Angie, you also will need to follow the same process. We need to be in the world, since we need to make a living, we need to go shopping. But we know that at a certain point, we are not to be like the people of this world. And today is just the beginning of this separation exercise. A very popular slogan among Christians is, "What would Jesus do?" We've all seen that as kids in Sunday school, etc. Well, when we plan our day, our career, our moment of relaxation, we do need to think about what would Jesus do in a similar situation. If He was here with us, would He be pleased with what we are doing, or how we look, or the company we're keeping, or the words coming out of our mouths? A consecrated child of God has to consider some of the normal things that the people of the world are entitled to, but we may not be entitled to do them anymore. Time management. The flesh may want to rest, but the new creature has to keep working. Our priorities will also be different. Do we work overtime and save money for an earthly investment, or do we invest and do overtime for an eternal prize? Sometimes the work of the Lord will take up many hours every day, and you'll have to choose for which master you want to do overtime. Our health. Do I look after the health of the flesh and give it plenty of rest and good times, pleasant times, or do I look after the health of the new creature which is starting to grow in me? Do I sacrifice this fleshly body to nurture the spiritual me? Do I trust in my own hand to bless me with increase? Or do I trust in the Lord's hand and His way? The Lord said He'll give us food and a roof over our head. All the rest will come to us if it's His will for us. If we aren't getting what we think we need, what do we do then? Do we go and try to attain it with the strength of our hand, since God decided we don't need it? So, Sister Angela, we do need to be very careful and watch out for these hand and eye movements of the Lord. He's giving us signals and we're looking for His instructions today. And like, do I go left? Do I go right? What should I do? And we have to learn to wait upon the Lord in all things of your life and follow His instructions. So as part of our consecration, we give up all of our time, our health, our energy, our money to God. And since all this belongs to God, He then gives it back to us and He entrusts it to us. He wants to see what we do with these little things. He wants to see if we are trustworthy. And if He finds that we are good stewards and He can trust us with a little bit, then it's told to us that He can entrust us with a lot more in the future. How will people know I am a new creature? Galatians 5:22 and 23 tells us of the outward fruit by which people can recognize us. And the verse says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And even non-Christians, they can look at you and see this. They can recognize it and praise those characteristics. There's no conflict with the world. They like us to be like that. So these few words are only a small beginning into what is required of someone who wants to walk on a narrow way, the consecrated way. And the rest you will need to find yourself by careful study of the scriptures, forsaking not to attend meetings, and also in-depth thinking about the things of God. You'll need to take time out from the very, very busy life that we have, and the time out from the things that absorb us, and we'll have to spend time thinking about dwelling on these spiritual lessons and on our own lives. And I think that's something that we all have. It's a real challenge for us, finding this time. I think one of Satan's biggest tools against a Christian is to take up their time with so many things that they don't have time to think about what's happening to themselves and to those around them. The more you think, the more you'll want to pray to the one who you made your covenant with. You should go there to God's throne with all your questions, with your joys, with your sorrows, and make him your best friend. Spend as much time with God as you can, and this will ensure your success in the life of consecration that you've chosen. If we want to spend an eternity in God's closest family, yet we can't give him 10 minutes a day, is that the right message to send to God? So we need to spend more and more time with him. The more you prepare your paths now in your youth, the easier it'll be later in your life. Don't leave the fulfillment of your consecration vows till later, because it could be too late. Do your best to show yourself approved to God now, since none of us knows how long this age and the high calling of God will be opened for us. Also, don't be discouraged. There could be those that say, you don't need to give your life to God. Many will come along that way, especially from the world. And you can tell them that consecration to God will always be actual. Even the people living in the millennial age in the future will need to prove their loyalty to God during and at the end of that age. So why not do it now? The reward's far higher, far greater. We read about this reward in 1 Peter 2 from verse 9 to 10, and I'll paraphrase it. We've been called to be a chosen people, called to join the royal priesthood, to become part of a holy nation, to become a people belonging to God. We have been called that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once we were not a people, and now we are the people of God. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. Thanks be to this merciful God that he opened the door to us who are amongst those who were not a people. Many of us here have known you, Sister Angie, since you were born. You've attended many Bible studies. You know God's promises, and you know his plan for mankind. And you told me that you started thinking about consecration probably about a year ago, giving your life to God. And this is a very important step. It's also a one-way decision. When Jesus gave his life as a ransom, he died so that every human being would have another chance to live. When we die as the old man and come alive again through baptism, we use up our one chance as this new creature coming to life. And that's why it's so important to not take consecration lightly. It's a very serious decision. There is no going back. God may not accept our consecration if it's done foolishly, but once he does accept, then we are in the race for the high prize, and you can't turn back. What is water baptism? Well, we know that a mere sprinkling of water is not what is meant by baptism. The meaning of baptism, as done by the apostles, is to be fully immersed, totally, underwater. It's a symbol of death totally overtaking the old man. And as the brother who is immersing us then pulls us out of the water, we are symbolically born a second time, this time as a new creature in Christ. And so, if that's all symbolic, then what's the reality? What's the real baptism? Let's turn to Romans 6, 3-5. Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. And these verses are generally used to prove all the various doctrines of baptism that exist out there. We notice here that the apostle doesn't speak one word of reference to water baptism. Water baptism is merely a symbol or a picture of the real baptism. And here in this verse, it says that we are baptized into Jesus' death. And 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." In order to be called to this high calling, it is first necessary that justification from Adamic sentence be secured. And this justification is reckoned to us by faith in the blood of Christ. But just having justification is not enough to qualify us to be in the running for the high prize. The next step is to be immersed into the death of Jesus. So how does that happen? We become part of the body of Christ once we are baptized into Jesus, who is the head of this body. We become part of this body at the moment that we surrender our will, also our heart, to him. A full surrender of these. A consecration of everything that we have and that we are in order to obey Jesus for the rest of our lives until our bodies die. Colossians 3:3 says, "For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, with Christ in God." Another version says, "Our life is buried with Christ." So this death of our will, this burial of our fleshly, selfish will, is our baptism into Christ's death. So again, to compare this to this symbolic water baptism, we go down into the water and it covers us fully, just like the grave would cover us if we are dead. The old man with his selfish will is put to death. And then, when we are pulled out of the water, we are born again, a new life, a new nature, a new will, and a new heart. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." So this new will that is inside us must be set on things above, not on earthly things, which we are told to leave behind. Only then do we have this new life. 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12. "Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him." Remember the saying, "No cross, no crown"? Romans 6:8-12. "Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires." So, to really be baptized into the death of Christ is to die to sin once for all, to not let sin reign in our mortal bodies, to not obey sin's evil desires. New creatures become alive through the Redeemer to heavenly things and prospects. The world around us doesn't see or understand what we see. And how should our lives look? A new life? Distinct? Separate from those in the world around us? Why? Because we are energized with this new spirit and new hope, new aims in a heavenly direction. So now we return to the three questions, Sister Angie. So I'll ask you these three questions. Would you like to come up here with me? So you can look at my paper rather than the screen. Do you recognize Jesus Christ as the one who died to redeem mankind? And have you personally accepted his sacrifice on your behalf?
Yes.
Do you acknowledge your sinful condition from which you can't save yourself? And lastly, having acknowledged the first two points, do you present yourself in consecration to God as a living sacrifice to do His will even unto your death?
Yes.
Well, Sister Angie, on the basis of this confession, it's my privilege to welcome you to your spiritual family, all of us here and more, on behalf of our Heavenly Father and our Redeemer and all your brethren in Christ. It's my privilege. And the Polish way, we give you two pieces. Thank you, sister. And well, as the question asked the eunuch in Acts 8:36, who said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And Philip baptized him. So we'll hand over to Brother Ray. He will be doing the immersing, and Brother Joe Chapla will be assisting him. And may the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you very much, Brother David, for that very beautiful discourse and for Sister Angie's decision. I'd like to close this part of the session with hymn number 366. Hymn 366, "Take My Life and May It Be, Lord, Acceptable to Thee." Hymn number 366.
Thank you.
a little bit of housekeeping before we go. After the baptism, you're invited back here for afternoon tea, and after that is approximately 4:15, depending on how long it takes us there. We will be dividing into two groups for the study in Colossians 2, 1 to 8. One group will be in here, or one group will be in next door, and the youth and the young at heart are coming with me, and we're going down to the bottom there in the rooms to the side there. So, there are the rules there. Anything else, Graham? No? Alright, just change whatever shoes you have to or whatever else you need, and we'll meet as soon as we can at the front